Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Now the pass across. They score! The Rangers take a 4-3 lead with 4:19 remaining. Long shift and the finish by Chris Kreider.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered with oil.
All right, we're kicking off the summer. A little bit of a different vibe than summer '69, but this is, come on. This is, you got a drink in your hand, your feet are in a kiddie pool in your backyard. That is a summer vibe right there. The great Jimmy Buffett, 877-888-808-1019. It's going to take a while. 888-808 1019, 1019. That's the new end of the number. We're taking your phone calls for the next 4 hours on this Memorial Day Friday. Getting ready for a big weekend. The summer kickoff party starts in 4 hours or so, live from Belmar, New Jersey. I'm going to try and make it. I don't know if I am. But right now, I'm focused on our baseball teams. I'm focused on the Rangers tonight. We'll get to the football. Plenty to get to over the course of the next 4 hours. But let's get back to your phone calls right here on The Fan. Johnny and Yonkers, what's up, Johnny?
Hey, what's up? I just want to talk about the Yankees and their prospects. The thing is coming back soon, but this is guy in Double-A Somerset, and people are really sleeping on him. Max Bird. I think he can take over this guy, Gleyber Torres. This guy Bird, I'm telling you, his swing is beautiful, doesn't make the mental mistakes. I think he could take the job and we could trade Peraza for some pitching.
You want to trade Peraza, too?
Well, if Bert pans out, I mean, like, I think can trade Peraza. We have Bert, John Birdie as depth, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm willing to go there with a young prospect yet. Gleyber Torres has struggled, obviously, this year. I don't think he's going anywhere this year. I think you're moving on from Gleyber Torres next year. I think Gleyber Torres will not be a Yankee next year. And even I've never been more confident of that considering the comments made by the owner. People jump out and say, well, there goes Soto. He's talking about not spending money like he's spending now. And I disagree. It's all the ancillary pieces. It's all the secondary pieces. It's Gleyber Torres is not getting his contract from the New York Yankees because they need to pay Juan Soto. Verdugo will not be back. It's a one-year thing with Verdugo because they need to pay Juan Soto. That's the kind. Anthony Rizzo will not be back, obviously. It's the end of his contract. He's not getting another contract. And they are not going to replace him with an all-star caliber first baseman. Or at least, you know, maybe they will. They'll get lucky and replace him with, you know, one of these guys in the minors. Or they'll get a guy who's undervalued who comes through with a big season. I'm not saying they can't have an all-star first baseman. What I'm telling you is they won't pay for an already all-star first baseman. Clay Holmes might be gone. And they'll have to figure out who your closer is if he gets a big contract. Those kind of pieces won't be able to be paid the same way, and they won't hold them as, you know, important as they will the handful of superstars. You are going to pay Judge, you're going to pay Cole, you're going to pay Soto. Those are the players you pay, and then you hope to fill your roster with your young talent. I talked about this yesterday. Dominguez in center, Volpe at short, Peraza at second, Wells at catcher, and then eventually Spencer Jones out in the outfield. That to go along with, you know, Soto, Judge, and Dominguez. or, you know, Spencer Jones on the team in some fashion. Like, that's how you have your two outfielders and your young center fielder. Your infield is mainly young players. You're not going to go pay for a big third baseman. You're not going to go pay for a big first baseman. You can get quality guys, but you're not going to go out and sign, you know, you're not going to go sign the next Manny Machado to play third base. Jay in Fort Lee, what's up, Jay?
Hey, I was at the game today. Before I get to my point, man, you can see that Soto loves playing with the Yankees. Man, I was out in 203. He was turning around to us, waving, you know, throwing balls. He just loves it. But, you know, of course the money's going to talk, but he loves playing with the Yankees. So my point is, you made a statement earlier that there's three ways you can go, but I saw on The Athletic or somewhere, another way you could go is that if you want, I want to keep this kid who looks like an absolute stud. I want to keep him in rhythm. Check out this idea I saw in The Athletic. So when Cole comes back and he'll reach, and by the way, thank you, Cashman, and the Minnesota Twins for Heel, because he traded J.K. for him. So thank you, Cash, which I never do. I'm not a big Cash fan. But anyway.
There you go. Well, good for you to recognize he deserves a thank you every now and then. I mean, it's only been pretty damn good years for 25 years.
It's never black and white. But needless to say,
yes,
you take when Cole comes back and he's really ready, and let's say he's getting up to about maybe 130, 140 innings, you take Heel, still let him start. He's still a young guy. Keep him in his position. Let him go five innings max, and then bring in Nestor for the back four.
Yeah, we were just talking about that, kind of stacking the starting pitchers.
Save the bullpen for a day.
Yeah, I mean I like that idea. I still think it's too. I mean, I don't think you can let Heel make 30 starts, even if you're limiting some of them in the second half to five innings. I mean, it's still just too many innings. I don't think they'll do it that much.
Well, how many innings do you think he should have?
I don't know. There's no set limit, but he threw four last year. Do you think you're going to allow him to throw 180 this year?
No, but a young starting pitcher, the most important thing you want them to have is rhythm and not losing the zone. The Yankees have guys with good arms, but sometimes, like Birdie, he'll come in, but he walks as many guys as he strikes out.
Yeah.
You don't want this kid to lose that rhythm of the strike zone.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying maybe you could stack him. You could put him in a little bit of a six-man rotation where you move him around, and then if you stack him, like maybe you give him three innings and then let Nestor come in, and then you only have to worry about maybe the last, you know, you're guaranteed to pitch into the eighth or so. I can't see him getting five innings every night the entire season. Like, I just can't see it. I mean,
you want him in the playoffs, right? You
don't want 100%, that's part of it. They have to figure out a way to get him where he's ready in the playoffs. So I could see something where they do something in the middle of the season and then to keep it down for a while and then bring him back towards the end of the season and get him ready for playoffs.
I could see that. I could see that. The other thing is about Judge. When you said before he's the best hitter in baseball, did you mean like just over the last 2 years? Because he is. But this year, you got to give props to Ohtani. Tucker's killing it. Ozuna with the Braves, they're all killing it right now.
Well, I don't necessarily mean he's the hitter with the best stats currently. I do believe he's the best hitter. And at the end of the year, right now, Ohtani's been great. So Ohtani, I'll give you that. Ohtani could make me change my mind, but I would still, in a big at bat, I need, you know, I would rather have, let me ask you a question. If you're a starting pitcher, would you rather face Tucker or Judge? I'd rather face Tucker.
If it's in the postseason?
Anywhere.
I don't know. I haven't seen, normally I don't want, right now, I don't want to pitch to Judge.
Right. I mean, I mean, this is what he's done for the last handful of years. I'm talking about
absolutely,
like, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like at the moment. Sure, there's always. Let's be fair. If you want to play that kind of game, you could go over the course of Mariano Rivera's career and say he was never the best closer in baseball. If you want to play it like that, you could make an argument that Mariano Rivera was never the best closer in baseball because you can go through, and I know this, you're going to say steroids or whatever, but Eric Gagne had better years, was at a time, was a better closer than he was. obviously, what's his name with Philadelphia, had a perfect season. Brad Lidge had a perfect season. So there were times throughout Mariano's career where he wasn't the best closer going in that moment, but he was always a top three closer his entire career. And then come postseason time, he was unbelievable. What makes him the best wasn't he was always the best at any given moment. Other guys were better and had better years. But he did it so consistently for so long and then was so special in the postseason that he's the best reliever of all time and the best closer of all time. But Eric Gagne was better than him. Brad Lidge had a year where he didn't blow a save. Trevor Hoffman had probably a year where he was better than him statistically in the regular season. Billy Wagner. Like, there are guys who probably were better than him at times. He's still the best. Same thing with Judge. At the moment, is Ohtani having a better season? Yes. Is Tucker having an incredible year and been more consistent considering Judge was awful for a month? Absolutely. The best hitter in baseball is Aaron Judge. Ohtani is possibly changing that narrative for me. Maybe. But again, Ohtani is the best player in baseball. Not to talk a lot about Ohtani and the Dodgers. We're going to see them coming up. June 8th for the Yankees, you're going to see them for the Mets as well. And, you know, to get to the Mets just for a second here. This is now for the New York Mets, for me, this is the season coming up. The New York Mets, literally, this is coming up now, starting tomorrow, starting later today at 7 o'clock against San Francisco. And it's funny, too, because San Francisco is where it all started. The Mets had that terrible first five games. They win that, as you know, it's being called rock bottom there in the second game of that doubleheader against Detroit. And they're a couple of, they're an out away, I believe, right? An out or an inning. It was in the ninth, I think. An out or an inning away from losing the first six games and being swept in the opening homestand. And Gary Cohen calling it rock bottom. Nobody in the building for that second doubleheader. And Alonso hits that home run. Taylor comes through. They win that game. And then they went on a roll. They beat Cincinnati. They win that first game, come from behind fashion against Atlanta and take that series. And they won a handful of series in a row. They go into L.A. to start a West Coast trip and win the first two games against L.A. And then really that San Francisco series, they lost. And then since then, it's been downhill. And it's gotten worse, but it's been downhill. And they had the 1-2 game series against St. Louis, but ultimately they've been losing. And it started with San Francisco. And right now for me, this is the longest homestand of the year. They have a 10-game homestand, 3 against the San Francisco, 3 against the Dodgers, and 4 against the Arizona Diamondbacks. This 10-game stretch, because if you look at where the Mets are right now, and let's pull up the standings. The Mets right now, and it's the first time we're allowed to look at the standings, right? It's Memorial Day. I know it's on Monday, but it's Memorial Day weekend. Cut me some slack. The Mets right now are in fourth place behind the Washington Nationals. They have a record of 21-28. They are 7 games under 500. They've lost 3 in a row after being swept by Cleveland. And right now, if Lindor doesn't step up, if Alonso doesn't have a big homestand, if they don't figure out a way to at least have a 500 homestand, they have to go 5-5. And that's just to not end their season. Obviously, that puts them in no position of gaining ground. But you cannot leave this 10-game homestand, the biggest homestand of the year, as you head into June. And last year is where you lost your season, was in June. You cannot win the pennant in April and May, but you can lose it. And right now, the Mets are 7 games under 500. And against the San Francisco Giants, who they've already lost the series to, it's against the Dodgers, who they won last time, but the Dodgers look and feel like a completely different team lately. And to the last caller's point, Ohtani is absolutely killing it. and the struggling defending National League champ Arizona Diamondbacks for a four-game set. If you come out any worse, if you get through 10 home games, if you knock off 10 games off the schedule, 10 home games off the schedule, as you head into June, and you are 10, 11, 12 games under 500, you can kiss this season goodbye. You can kiss this season goodbye. Now, we won't call them dead, and you'll play through it. And hey, who knows, you might even get hot for a stretch. It won't be officially dead, but I promise you, it will be dead. And you will be looking like one of the previous callers called earlier. You are going to be focused on the deadline. You are going to be focused on what you can get for Pete Alonso. You are going to be focused on breaking down this team and rebuilding it in the vision of David Stearns. And you are going to be focused on Juan Soto and the free agent pitchers and spending money and your prospects who you will probably call up at some point. Like, this is the season. If the Mets are going to contend, if Lindor is going to impact this team, because we can talk all we want about Lindor eventually finishing the year or having, when we look up at the end of the season, Lindor will have a typical Lindor season. Right? That's what we've all said. It doesn't matter if he doesn't impact the team when they need it the most. And this is it. A 10-game homestand at the end of May, the beginning of June. This can mark your season. If you have a great homestand, away you go. If you have a miserable homestand, kiss it goodbye. This is the biggest time of year. This is the biggest moment in the Mets season. And I don't know how they're going to react, because I talk about strengths and weaknesses. For me, it's the bullpen. You've got Christian Scott on the mound tonight. You got Hicks Severino in the second game and Webb and Manaea. And we talked about strengths and weaknesses. You know how big I am on it. That's why the Mets are a struggling team for me, because their perceived strength is their lineup. We knew, or at least we felt, the rotation was going to be a weakness, especially without Senga, who's still dealing with, now tricep inflammation, and we'll see when he throws again. But this lineup was supposed to carry them through. You knew the bullpen was probably going to be a strength. You thought you were going to have the best closer in baseball, and yet he's already out of the closer's position. So if you think about it, when I talk about the Yankees, their strengths are their strengths, and their perceived weakness has been their biggest strength. That's why they are where they are with the best record in the American League. The Mets, their strength was supposed to be their offense. It's their biggest weakness. Their strength was supposed to be their closer position in a overall good bullpen. And while the bullpen overall has been okay, your closer position is completely in flux. Diaz has, been taken out of the position, seems to be going through it mentally and confidence issues. And your perceived weakness, the rotation, has been the best unit. The Mets are ass backwards. And it started against, it's the swoon, or whatever you want to call it, the poor play, started against San Francisco, and now they have an opportunity against San Francisco tonight in the longest homestand of the year to try and change what this season has become. But I'll tell you right now, if this continues, if this offense continues, and, for me, we talked about it yesterday, Vientos is your starting third baseman. That's it. You've got to create, as you're waiting for Alvarez, you have got to create some excitement and enthusiasm. Give the crowd something to be excited about. They're going to be ready for Vientos at bats. You got to give the team a spark here. He's hitting. He has, home runs and doubles. He's already got one less extra base hit than Beatty has all year. You've got to put him in there and play him every single day. Every single day of this homestand. You got to get a spark. This offense has to wake up. And this is a huge series for me for Lindor. Because when you're the leader of the team, when you talk about, when asked about what what you miss most about being in Cleveland, and your answer is winning, you have to... You can't be the reason for the losing. Now, over the course of his career here, he hasn't been. But he need right now he's hitting just about 200. He's been awful. And I do expect him to get hot, but it's got to be now when the season's on the line. Last year was kind of the same thing. He got hot in July. He got hot at the end of June. When they were going through their June swoon, when they were losing all those games, when they were getting beat by the Pirates and throwing the ball around last year, as I'm watching Pirate highlights now, when they needed him most, he was nowhere to be found, and they desperately need him now. They need him. They need Alonso. They need, you know, J.D. Martinez. They need this offense to awaken. They need... And I'll give it to him because I specifically called out Jeff McNeil and in the area of a trying to drive the baseball. Not even failing at driving the baseball. I accused him of not trying to drive the baseball. And I'm not sure if he heard me, but he's got two home runs in back-to-back games. And he hit one off the wall as well. And he's actually driven the baseball as good as he has all year over the last two games. They need McNeil to show up. They need this offense to be there. Because you know what? Scott, coming off a bad performance, I think has good stuff. And I expect him to bounce back. Severino's having a damn good year. Manaea is throwing the ball well. Besides having a couple games where he walks the ballpark, he's always seemed to make the pitch when he needs to make the pitch, and you trust the bullpen. Although Reed Garrett hasn't been as good, and Ottavino's had some moments in the last couple of games. You've had relievers breaking stuff in the dugout. For the most part, I trust the bullpen. Besides the closer position, you trust the rotation. This offense needs to wake up, and now is the time. It's no longer early. I understand, Met fans, you understand this. But it is now Memorial Day, and this is the longest homestand of the year. And you cannot start this, you cannot end May and start June with a losing 10-game homestand and fall further behind for under 500 than the 8 games you are now. It can't happen. This is an enormous stretch for the Mets. 7 games under.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. 1:32 on the beginning of summer. Having a little fun with some summer songs. Bob Marley also gives off the vibe of summer. Makes me think of summer. There's always, and I know I'll have to play a Beatles song or two. There are different Beatle albums in my life that for whatever reason hit the summer. Also, there are just songs that might not even feel like summer, but I associate them with the summer. Because they came out during the summer, or I got into them in the summer, so I'm going to throw a bunch of different stuff at you. Some personal favorite songs that make me think of summer, even though they have nothing to do with summer. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Lou in South Carolina had an idea for a summer song. What do you got, Lou?
Yeah, actually a couple. Let me start with anything by Jimmy Buffett.
Yep. I played Margaritaville last break, but yeah, we could always do more, Jimmy.
Yeah, Cheeseburger in Paradise and all that.
Sure.
So, Lovin' Spoonful, Summer in the City.
Sure, Summer in the City. Back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Okay.
Yep. And also Summertime and A Living is Easy. I think that's Sam Cooke.
Okay.
Summertime and A Living is Easy.
Right. Well, it doesn't always have to have the word summer in it necessarily, but
you... they actually are about summer, and
I got you.
And let me see now. About the Mets.
Okay,
I'm a Yankees fan, so I'm just going to say this gratuitously. Mets fans can pucker up and kiss it goodbye.
Oh, that was very nice of you, Lou. I'm sure they were very happy to hear from you. I don't know. Listen, I do think this offense is capable of getting hot. I do think that. I think they are. I don't think the Mets are just a terrible team. I don't. I think there's too much talent there. I do believe Lindor is a good player. And I do believe Lindor. I do believe Lindor will have the season. And like at the end of the year, you will look up and Lindor will have it somewhat. He can have a down year, clearly. I mean, right now he's really struggling, but it might not be a great Lindor year, but it won't be so far off where you're like, geez, what the hell happened to him? But he needs to do it now, but they will go through a stretch. Like, this lineup is too good. I believe in Alonso. Nimmo, I think, is a solid player. He's got a .361 on base percentage despite the fact he's hitting .220. I mean, but right now, for those who qualify, Alonso's .779 is the best OPS on the team. It's just not good enough. But I do think they'll get hot. I believe in this lineup. So the rotation's been good. And the bullpen has been solid. So I could see a stretch of baseball where they play well. And I could see this team, being right around .500. But this is where they got to do it. Because if you fall behind, if you allow this terrible play to continue, if you take that Cleveland series and you take the bad defense they showed you, you take the bad base running they showed you, you take the inept offense they show you, you take the bad, bullpen and blowing games late that they showed you in this series, and you take it into this 10-game homestand and you play your worst stretch of the... Because right now they're playing their worst stretch of baseball. If this continues through this homestand and you find yourselves 10, 11, 12 games, 13 games under .500, you have to go on a 10-game winning streak just to get back into relevancy. That is hard. It's hard. And the Dodgers are good. I mean, these teams are, not... Arizona's struggling, but I don't think... there is a bad team. They've just gotten terrible performances from Corbin Carroll, but they're two games under .500. San Francisco's a game under .500. You're going to see their best pitcher on Sunday. And right now, it's just they're on the verge of being one of the worst teams in baseball. They're right there with Washington. They're right there with Cincinnati, who's 10 games under .500. Right now, Colorado is really the worst team in the sport, them and the White Sox. But, it's got to happen now for the Mets. That's what I think, because I'm telling you, I don't think they're so bad, but right now they're playing so bad, and that if they can't do it during this 10-game stretch, you're going to find yourself in the middle of June, and the confidence of this team will fade, and they will know what's coming. They are not stupid. They saw it last year. They saw this trade deadline coming. And obviously, what sucks about it is they're about to go. That's the thing. If they don't play well here, they're going to be irrelevant around here. They're going to be irrelevant. And all the talk around the Mets is going to be who they trade and if they what's going on with Pete Alonso. And already, I guess, we'll see if he actually comes through. I'm very hesitant to see if Evan actually comes through with shaving his beard. But apparently he's going to shave his beard tomorrow, or excuse me, later today, in attempts of sparking the team. But he's been holding out for a Pete Alonso signing. He's definitely not getting it this year. But you can't fade off into oblivion here. It's too damn early. It's too damn early. And this offense has got to step up. And right now, this is the time. You cannot have a bad homestand here. You cannot play bad in your building. You cannot come back from a miserable road trip after losing the last three against Cleveland in every which way. I mean, you got the base blunders, the base running blunders. You got the poor defense. You got, the dreadful offense. You got everything you could possibly imagine out of this thing. Blowing a game late. And, they've been able to salvage, and I did an open on this earlier, maybe a couple weeks ago, about the Mets and their ability to salvage these last games, or right when you thought you were on the brink of disaster. Like, just as you felt like, oh man, this could really be bad, you would get a big game. It started with Pete Alonso. I mentioned it. Rock bottom, as, Gary called it on the broadcast. Nobody's in the building. They're about to get swept in a doubleheader and swept for the six games in their opening homestand, and they get off the deck, score, and win the game. Then you got, multiple times like that. You come from, you're about to get beat by St. Louis. You get the home run from Vientos. Like, there, Lindor has the game where he was sick and comes in and pinch hits and wins you a game. Like, there were these moments where the season was on the line, and for whatever reason, the Mets had found their way to just get off the deck and do enough to salvage a game or make you feel better about the idea that it was just a disaster. And you thought they were on their way to doing that again against Cleveland in the last game where they take a lead. And then Jimenez, who, by the way, if you look at his numbers over the last couple of years since the trade, since he went to Cleveland and Lindor has come to New York, Jimenez has pretty much put up the same numbers as Lindor for a much lesser price tag. But it's brutal. That game was brutal. To not win that game, to not find a way to beat Cleveland in that last game and get swept, and now head into this homestand, the Mets have got to find a way. 877.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers.
The Rangers win and advance to the Final Four.
The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up
good vibrations. All right, 146. McMonagle here with you on this unofficial first day of summer. Memorial Day weekend. I know the pool opens up by me. I'm looking forward to that. They're going to be at DJs for the official kickoff, the summer party, starting at 5 a.m. live from DJs in Belmar, New Jersey. Should be fun. Start with a warm-up show, morning show, midday show, afternoon show. I'm going to try and make it to the afternoon show. I don't know. I live so far away. I got my son's pre-K prom that he's very excited about. Just going to be tough for me to make it, but I'll be there in spirit if I'm not there. The last couple of years, obviously, I sang. We had a lot of fun. It was a good time. I'm going to miss it. It's a great party. If you have a chance to go down and hang out at the Jersey Shore, and the weather should be great, should be fun. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. That's the new number. If you're hearing me say it over and over again, we got a new call-in number. Getting used to it. It's going to take some time. Alan was the first caller I ever took on the new line. He was very excited about that, so I want to give him some credit. But you got to get used to it. The old number is gone. The new one is here to stay. And so I typically like to do the, I do my, the segment of Daddy, Why Are You Still on the Potty? Which is when I explain why I'm still, you know, we all steal minutes from our families, wives and children, on the bathroom, in the bathroom. I got to go to the bathroom. You know it. The kids are nuts running around at the table. And you're like, honey, I'm sorry. Gotta go to the bathroom. She knows exactly what you're doing. And then you're in there for like 15, 20 minutes. And I'm usually watching movie trailers, which I was again. So for this version of Daddy, Why Are You Still in the Potty? Well, it's because I'm watching Beverly Hills Cop 4, the new trailer that just came out. And I am a huge, huge Beverly Hills Cop fan. Even 3 that everybody hated when he's at the amusement park, I didn't think it was that bad. But the first 2 are obviously great. Love Beverly Hills Cop. And so I watched the trailer and a couple things. One, it looks like it's going to be okay. I don't have high expectations from it. The cast looks okay. Obviously bringing everybody back. What's his name is his new partner. Looks like Kevin Bacon's going to be the captain of the police. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is his like partner in this thing. And here's what I'll say. It's, I don't know how many years since the last one. It's 2024. It's been a ton of years since the last one. And all these characters that are still in, you got obviously Judge Reinhold, John Ashton were the two cop partners that were with him in the original. Paul Reiser is like his friend. He's still in it. I saw him in it. But everybody else looks like they have aged the appropriate years, except for Eddie Murphy. I mean, I am amazed. That's what jumped out at me watching the trailer. I know he was just in a movie. It's not like we haven't seen him in forever, but I am amazed. Especially when you put him in a movie like this, where you bring back all the characters. Like, he is now 63 years old. He looks it's amazing how good he looks. I'm watching the trailer. I'm like, everybody else looks like 100. And it's like, he looks exactly the same. He has aged incredibly well. I don't know if it's all the Disney movies he does. I don't know what he's doing. But he has, I mean, he looks fantastic. Everyone else looks 100 years old. Even Kevin Bacon looks old. Paul Reiser looks old. And there's Eddie Murphy looking like a spring chicken. It's unbelievable. I was amazed at how good he looked in the trailer. And we'll see if it's going to be all right. I know now they're you know, Hollywood is typically doing all these remakes and sequels. I am excited about this one. Happy Gilmore 2 is coming out with Adam Sandler. I can't wait for that. I love Happy Gilmore. I love Billy Madison. I love all those early Adam Sandler movies. Huge Adam Sandler guy. We used to listen to all the... If you really are bored one day and you have some time, you could listen to the Jerky Boys prank phone calls. The Jerky Boys are hilarious. And then Adam Sandler's comedy albums. That's my childhood right there. Those two things, we used to listen to that over and over and over again. His first two comedy albums were really just tremendous, whether it's Tollbooth Willie. If any of you know what I'm talking about, God bless you. If you don't, go find it out. I can't play any of it. It's filthy. Adam Sandler's filthy. Go listen to Tollbooth Willie. Go listen to The Goat, where it's a couple of friends go and talk to a talking goat. It sounds like the dumbest thing ever. It is hilarious. It's some of Adam Sandler's best work. His comedy albums are tremendous. His songs are all good. Piece of Blank Car is such a great song. He's got so many great comedy songs. Lunch Lady, Food Innuendo Guy is another one. Adam Sandler's got so much good stuff. So if you got a chance, go check out. He's making Happy Gilmore 2. I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, Beverly Hills Cop. And then I saw another one of my favorite things, which is great answers or funny answers on either Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune. And this is a doozy. Now, my favorite of all time, and there's many, there's famous ones, but my personal favorite of all time is Jeopardy. And I've played it before, but I'll just paraphrase it real quick, and then we'll play the what happened on Wheel of Fortune last night. But my favorite one of all time is Jeopardy, where in between the segments, they will talk. You know, Alec Trebek would go and talk to the contestants and get a little bit of their background and their story. And he was talking to this woman once, and he opens it up with, now, you know, Deborah from where, you know, wherever, I think California. And now, Deborah, you just recently got married, and all you ever wanted was a white wedding. You wanted snow on your wedding. And she's like, yes, that's as a child, that's always been a fantasy of mine to get snow on my wedding day. And she was like, unfortunately, no, we didn't get any snow on my wedding day, but I did get 7 inches on my honeymoon. And that is the greatest answer in the history of game show television. And there's a couple of famous ones, like, where's the most interesting place you've ever done whoopee? And the answer is just like the one I'm about to play. But here, this was last night. Now, Wheel of Fortune's tough because you can't see the clue, but just take it from me. It's worth listening. So this was the Wheel of Fortune last night. I love when this kind of stuff happens. Go ahead, play.
Tavares, right in the butt.
What?
No. Blake.
This is the best.
Yeah, that's it.
The play it one more time because the other contestants, what? After he says right in the butt.
Tavares, right in the butt.
What?
No.
And then the crowd can't believe he said it. How could you think that was the answer? First of all, butt has two T's and there's only one T showing. But besides that, right in the butt. What? This is the best? Yeah, that's it. This is the best. And that was the same answer to that question very famously on the Newlywed Game. Where is the most interesting place you've ever made whoopee? And the young woman responded with, in the butt. 888-808-1019. Rob in Brooklyn, what's up, Rob?
Hey, what's up, brother?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm all right. It's going to take some, getting used to this new number thing.
I know, it is. It's going to take some time.
Ooh, that's going for a loop. I just wanted to say the Mets are toast. That's all I have to say on that.
A lot of Yankee fans calling the Mets toast. Where are you Mets fans to come and defend your team?
They better, because what could they defend? They toast. Yeah, they know they toast. So they're not going to get into that. But I just want to say it's about Judge. People was written them off. There was this article in the Post about a month ago about, oh, this is Judge. This is what he's going to be like for the rest of his career. It was a bad sign. And I'm like, people are crazy. Dude, it's April. Stop.
No, I know. The overreaction to Judge's slump was
ridiculous. It was crazy. Now, listen, like, here's the man off.
Well, here's the thing. He did have the core injury in spring training and missed a lot of time. And then he's coming off the toe injury. And he said in spring training that it's something he's going to have to deal with.
Right.
And monitor. And I agree with you. I'm just saying there was a little bit of a narrative of, hey, he's injured all the time. He's dealing with something.
I get it. But
no,
the response was crazy.
Bro, he already has an OPS of over one, and he leads Major League Baseball in extra base hits.
And walks, he's climbing up all the statistical ladders. I mean, it's crazy what he's done in the last month.
He is fourth in the American – he's fourth in Major League Baseball. In OPS. Yeah. Fourth.
Yeah.
And he had a miserable
April. Miserable. Imagine he had an average April.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. 100%. If for my money, he's the best hitter in all of baseball.
Oh, no doubt. This is a question I don't know if you want to answer. You know, maybe you want to hang up and let the producers answer. I just want to know where you get your weed from. Because you said Eric Gagne was a better closer than Mariano Rivera. I need what you smoking.
That is exactly what I said.
I'll talk to the producer, let him know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need that. I need some of that.
Again, if you, my overall point, if you want to make sure you hear it again.
Okay.
Someone said that Judge currently is not the best hitter, that Ohtani is the best hitter. And I'm like, well, you got to say, at the moment, all right, he's not having the best season. He got off to a terrible start. But mm-hmm. I still think he's the best hitter when you take into account everything he's done over the last handful of years. And that was my point with Mariano Rivera. Mariano Rivera, throughout his career, he wasn't always the best closer going at the moment. There was a 2-year stretch. Eric Gagne had a stretch of 67 consecutive, or something like crazy
84,
like that.
84 consecutive.
There you go. 84 consecutive.
While he was on steroids to 88.
I understand that. But I'm just saying, at any one moment over the course of Mariano's career, you could have looked and said, wow, this guy's having a better year. This guy's having a better year. This guy's been a better closer this season. But he was always in the top two or three at the bare minimum, and he did it for forever. The greatest closer of all time, of course. The greatest closer of all time is Mariano Rivera. I'm not saying anything different. I'm just saying that when you look at, I'm comparing it to Judge. In my opinion, Judge is the best hitter in the world. And that goes back because of what he's done over the last handful of years as well as this year. So, yes, Tucker might be having a better gear at the moment. Ohtani certainly hitting .348, you could argue, is the better hitter right at this moment. But I would still say the best hitter in baseball is Judge. And I was using the example of Mariano Rivera as the best closer ever. But there was a stretch where Eric Gagne, you can't be better than what Eric Gagne did, steroids or not. You know, Brad Lidge was perfect for a season for Philadelphia. You can't be better than perfect. But then the next year, Brad Lidge sucked. And then Eric Gagne fell off the table. Like, that's what made Mariano great. But you could look at any point of Mariano's career and say, hey, there's somebody going better right now. Billy Wagner is at the moment better than Mariano. Like, that happened throughout his career. But the steadiness and always being one of the best, if not the best, for the course of, what, 15, 16, 17 years is what makes him the greatest closer of all time. Plus, he's the greatest postseason pitcher who ever lived. So I'm not trying to tell you Mariano's not the best closer, or that Brad Lidge is better, or that Eric Gagne is better, but you could take a small clip of their careers and say for this entire season. Mariano wasn't as good as what Eric Gagne was, but I mean, that's just a fact. And that my example is Judge right now is not as good as Ohtani at the moment. We'll see. You know, Ohtani's making a case for best hitter, though. Ohtani right now is hitting .348. He has an on-base percentage of .418, slugging .641, an OPS of .1059. He's got 13 home runs and 34. I mean, his average right now is just crazy. He's hitting .350. I know him. I know he's a slugger. He's hitting .350. Ozuna's off to an incredible start, too, but that'll fade. Ohtani, I believe, could keep it up the whole year. But Judge, for me, my money, Judge is the better hitter. And he's better than Juan Soto. I know that's come up a little bit. And the idea that, oh, he doesn't want to be second fiddle, he's not going to allow Soto to stay, all the nonsense that I've heard. It's what got him off to the slow start, all the love and attention that Juan Soto got. It's all garbage. He's the best hitter. He's the guy that makes them go. There is no surprise that while Soto was off to this incredible start and carrying the team, that the offense still had moments of struggling. That as great as Soto is and as good as he is, when he's at his best, the offense was still pretty damn good and they won a lot of games, but they were shut out 5 times and like there was still some, you know, sputtering and some struggles. The minute Judge got hot, well, now they're the best team in the American League. And there is no surprise to that, and there is a reason for it. Judge is the heartbeat and Judge is the best player. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. 2 hours down, 3 more to go on our 5-hour midnight ride, taking you all the way to the warm-up show live from DJ's out in Belmar for the kickoff of the summer party as we have hit Memorial Day. We take a look at our baseball teams. We get ready for a game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals for the Rangers and Panthers, plus the Giants. And Daniel Jones made some news today. We'll get to that as well.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers.
The Rangers win and advance to the Final Four.
The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her head. On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up
good vibrations. All right, 146. McMonagle here with you on this unofficial first day of summer. Memorial Day weekend. I know the pool opens up by me. I'm looking forward to that. They're going to be at DJs for the official kickoff, the summer party, starting at 5 a.m. live from DJs in Belmar, New Jersey. Should be fun. Start with a warm-up show, morning show, midday show, afternoon show. I'm going to try and make it to the afternoon show. I don't know. I live so far away. I got my son's pre-K prom that he's very excited about. Just going to be tough for me to make it, but I'll be there in spirit if I'm not there. The last couple of years, obviously, I sang. We had a lot of fun. It was a good time. I'm going to miss it. It's a great party. If you have a chance to go down and hang out at the Jersey Shore, and the weather should be great. Should be fun. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. That's the new number. If you're hearing me say it over and over again, we got a new call-in number. Getting used to it. It's going to take some time. Alan was the first caller I ever took on the new line. He was very excited about that, so I want to give him some credit. But you got to get used to it. The old number is gone. The new one is here to stay. And so I typically like to do the segment of Daddy, Why Are You Still on the Potty? Which is when I explain why I'm still, you know, we all steal minutes from our families, wives and children. On the bathroom, in the bathroom. I got to go to the bathroom. You know it. The kids are nuts running around at the table. And you're like, honey, I'm sorry. Got to go to the bathroom. She knows exactly what you're doing. And then you're in there for like 15, 20 minutes. And I'm usually watching movie trailers, which I was again. So for this version of Daddy, Why Are You Still in the Potty? Well, it's because I'm watching Beverly Hills Cop 4, the new trailer that just came out. And I am a huge, huge Beverly Hills Cop fan. Even 3 that everybody hated when he's at the amusement park, I didn't think it was that bad. But the first 2 are obviously great. Love Beverly Hills Cop. And so I watched the trailer and a couple things. 1, it looks like it's going to be okay. I don't have high expectations from it. The cast looks okay. Obviously bringing everybody back. What's his name is his new partner. Looks like Kevin Bacon's going to be the captain of the police. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is his like partner in this thing. And here's what I'll say. It's, I don't know, how many years since the last one? It's 2024. It's been a ton of years since the last one. And all these characters that are still in, you got obviously Judge Reinhold, John Ashton were the two cop partners that were with him in the original. Paul Reiser is like his friend. He's still in it. I saw him in it. But everybody else looks like they have aged the appropriate years, except for Eddie Murphy. I mean, I am amazed. That's what jumped out at me watching the trailer. I know he was just in a movie. It's not like we haven't seen him in forever, but I am amazed. Especially when you put him in a movie like this where you bring back all the characters. Like, he is now 63 years old. He looks it's amazing how good he looks. I'm watching the trailer. I'm like, everybody else looks like 100. And it's like, he looks exactly the same. He has aged incredibly well. I don't know if it's all the Disney movies he does. I don't know what he's doing. But he has, I mean, he looks fantastic. Everyone else looks 100 years old. Even Kevin Bacon looks old. Paul Reiser looks old. And there's Eddie Murphy looking like a spring chicken. It's unbelievable. I was amazed at how good he looked in the trailer. And we'll see if it's going to be all right. I know now they're you know, Hollywood is typically doing all these remakes and sequels. I am excited about this one. Happy Gilmore 2 is coming out with Adam Sandler. I can't wait for that. I love Happy Gilmore. I love Billy Madison. I love all those early Adam Sandler movies. Huge Adam Sandler guy. We used to listen to all the... If you really are bored one day and you have some time, you could listen to the Jerky Boys prank phone calls. The Jerky Boys are hilarious. And then Adam Sandler's comedy albums. That's my childhood right there. Those two things, we used to listen to that over and over and over again. His first two comedy albums were really just tremendous, whether it's Tollbooth Willie. If any of you know what I'm talking about, God bless you. If you don't, go find it out. I can't play any of it. It's filthy. Adam Sandler's filthy. Go listen to Tollbooth Willie. Go listen to The Goat, where it's a couple of friends go and talk to a talking goat. It sounds like the dumbest thing ever. It is hilarious. It's some of Adam Sandler's best work. His comedy albums are tremendous. His songs are all good. Piece of Blank Car is such a great song. He's got so many great comedy songs. Lunch Lady, Food Innuendo Guy is another one. Adam Sandler's got so much good stuff. So if you got a chance, go check out. He's making Happy Gilmore 2. I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, Beverly Hills Cop. And then I saw another one of my favorite things, which is Great Answers or Funny Answers on either Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune. And this is a doozy. Now, my favorite of all time, and there's famous ones, but my personal favorite of all time is Jeopardy. And I've played it before, but I'll just paraphrase it real quick, and then we'll play the what happened on Wheel of Fortune last night. But my favorite one of all time is Jeopardy, where in between the segments, they will talk. You know, Alec Trebek would go and talk to the contestants and get a little bit of their background and their story. And he was talking to this woman once, and he opens it up with, now, you know, Deborah from where, you know, wherever, I think California. And now, Deborah, you just recently got married, and all you ever wanted was a white wedding. You wanted snow on your wedding. And she's like, yes, that's as a child, that's always been a fantasy of mine to get snow on my wedding day. And she was like, unfortunately, no, we didn't get any snow on my wedding day, but I did get 7 inches on my honeymoon. And that is the greatest answer in the history of game show television. And there's a couple of famous ones, like, where's the most interesting place you've ever done whoopee? And the answer is just like the one I'm about to play. But here, this was last night. Now, Wheel of Fortune's tough because you can't see the clue. But just take it from me. It's worth listening. So this was the Wheel of Fortune last night. I love when this kind of stuff happens. Go ahead, play.
Tavares, right in the butt.
What?
No. Blake.
This is the best.
Yeah, that's it.
The play it one more time because the other contestants, what? After he says right in the butt.
Tavares, right in the butt.
What?
No.
And then the crowd can't believe he said it. How could you think that was the answer? First of all, butt has two T's and there's only one T showing. But besides that, right in the butt. What? This is the best? Yeah, that's it. This is the best. And that was the same answer to that question very famously on the Newlywed Game. Where is the most interesting place you've ever made whoopee? And the young woman responded with, in the butt. 888-808-1019. Rob in Brooklyn, what's up, Rob?
Hey, what's up, brother?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm all right. It's going to take some, getting used to this new number thing.
I know, it is. It's going to take some time.
Ooh, that's going for a loop. I just wanted to say the Mets are toast. That's all I have to say on that.
A lot of Yankee fans calling the Mets toast. Where are you Mets fans to come and defend your team?
They better, because what could they defend? They toast. Yeah, they know they toast. So they're not going to get in that. But I just want to say about Judge, people was written them off. There was this article in the Post about a month ago about, oh, this is Judge, this is what he's going to be like for the rest of his career. It was a bad sign. And I'm like, people are crazy. Dude, it's April. Stop.
No, I know. The overreaction to Judge's slump was
ridiculous. It was crazy. Now, listen, like, here's the man off.
Well, here's the thing. He did have the core injury in spring training and missed a lot of time. And then he's coming off the toe injury, and he said in spring training that it's something he's going to have to deal with.
Right.
And monitor. And I agree with you. I'm just saying there was a little bit of a narrative of, hey, he's injured all the time. He's dealing with something.
I get it. But
no,
I
never.
Was crazy.
Bro, he already has an OPS of over one, and he leads Major League Baseball in extra base hits.
And walks, he's climbing up all the statistical ladders. I mean, it's crazy what he's done in the last month.
He is fourth in the American. He's fourth in Major League Baseball. In OPS. Yeah. Fourth.
Yeah.
And he had a miserable month.
Miserable. Imagine he had an average April.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. 100%. If for my money, he's the best hitter in all of baseball.
Oh, no doubt. This is a question I don't know if you want to answer. You know, maybe you want to hang up and let the producers answer. I just want to know where you get your weed from. Because you said Eric Gagne was a better closer than Mariano Rivera. I need what you smoking.
That is exactly what I said.
I'll talk to the producer, let him know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need that. I need some of that.
Again, my overall point, if you want to make sure you hear it again.
Okay.
Someone said that Judge currently is not the best hitter, that Ohtani is the best hitter. And I'm like, well, you got to say, at the moment, all right, he's not having the best season. He got off to a terrible start. But mm-hmm. I still think he's the best hitter when you take into account everything he's done over the last handful of years. And that was my point with Mariano Rivera. Mariano Rivera, throughout his career, he wasn't always the best closer going at the moment. There was a 2-year stretch. Eric Gagne had a stretch of 67 consecutive, or something like crazy
84,
like that.
84, hey, 84 consecutive.
There you go, 84 consecutive.
While he was on steroids to 88.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, at any one moment over the course of Mariano's career, you could have looked and said, wow, this guy's having a better year. This guy's having a better year. This guy's been a better closer this season. But he was always in the top two or three at the bare minimum, and he did it for forever. The greatest closer of all time. Of course. The greatest closer of all time is Mariano Rivera. I'm not saying anything different. I'm just saying that when you look at, I'm comparing it to Judge. In my opinion, Judge is the best hitter in the world. And that goes back because of what he's done over the last handful of years as well as this year. So, yes, Tucker might be having a better gear at the moment. Ohtani certainly hitting .348, you could argue, is the better hitter right at this moment. But I would still say the best hitter in baseball is Judge. And I was using the example of Mariano Rivera as the best closer ever, but there was a stretch where Eric Gagne, you can't be better than what Eric Gagne did, steroids or not. You know, Brad Lidge was perfect for a season for Philadelphia. You can't be better than perfect. But then the next year, Brad Lidge sucked. And then Eric Gagne fell off the table. Like, that's what made Mariano great. But you could look at any point of Mariano's career and say, hey, there's somebody going better right now. Billy Wagner is at the moment better than Mariano. Like, that happened throughout his career. But the steadiness and always being one of the best, if not the best, for the course of, what, 15, 16, 17 years is what makes him the greatest closer of all time. Plus, he's the greatest postseason pitcher who ever lived. So I'm not trying to tell you Mariano's not the best closer or that Brad Lidge is better or that Eric Gagne is better, but you could take a small clip of their careers and say for this entire season, Mariano wasn't as good as what Eric Gagne was, but I mean, that's just a fact. And that my example is Judge right now is not as good as Otani at the moment. We'll see. You know, Otani's making a case for best hitter, though. Otani right now is hitting .348. He has an on-base percentage of .418, slugging .641, an OPS of .1059. He's got 13 home runs and 34. I mean, his average right now is just crazy. He's hitting .350. I know he's a slugger. He's hitting .350. Ozuna's off to an incredible start, too, but that'll fade. Otani, I believe, could keep it up the whole year. But Judge, for me, my money, Judge is the better hitter. And he's better than Juan Soto. I know that's come up a little bit. And the idea that, oh, he doesn't want to be second fiddle. He's not going to allow Soto to stay. All the nonsense that I've heard. It's what got him off to the slow start. All the love and attention that Juan Soto got. It's all garbage. He's the best hitter. He's the guy that makes them go. There is no surprise that while Soto was off to this incredible start and carrying the team, that the offense still had moments of struggling. That as great as Soto is and as good as he is, when he's at his best, the offense was still pretty damn good and they won a lot of games, but they were shut out five times and like there was still some, you know, sputtering and some struggles. The minute Judge got hot, well, now they're the best team in the American League. And there is no surprise to that, and there is a reason for it. Judge is the heartbeat, and Judge is the best player. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. 2 hours down, 3 more to go on our 5-hour midnight ride, taking you all the way to the warm-up show live from DJ's out in Belmar for the kickoff of the summer party as we have hit Memorial Day. We take a look at our baseball teams. We get ready for a game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals for the Rangers and Panthers. Plus, the Giants and Daniel Jones made some news today. We'll get to that as well.